Today we continue with our series on Habakkuk. Brendan did an excellent job last week and I learned heaps and I was challenged by what Brendan shared. And I really do hope, like Emily has said, that many of you have had the opportunity just to read through Habakkuk for yourself. Three chapters, 9 minutes if you're listening. But it's not always an easy read and it takes a little while, but I believe God will speak to us if we really are just open and willing to go back and ask and ask and ask as we read. The prophet Habakkuk was no ordinary prophet. He was an Old Testament minor prophet, and he wrote about 600 years before the birth of Christ. And what makes him different is that God's prophets spoke to God's people on behalf of God. But Habakkuk, he comes along and he speaks to God on behalf of God's people. And he does not hold back. The nation of Judah, Habakkuk's people, had been blessed and they'd prospered greatly. But then things went downhill and there was corruption and there was violence and there was injustice. And innocent people were suffering all around Habakkuk. People were hurting. And Habakkuk wanted to know why. God, why aren't you doing something? This isn't fair. Where are you? The other thing that I believe is important to highlight is that his name tells his story. His name tells his story. His name means to embrace and to wrestle. And here in this book of the Bible, we get a glimpse of this man of God, this prophet, doing all he can to hold on to God and what he believes is true about God. He embraces it. My God, my Holy One, my Rock, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You have made people. That is who I believe you are, God. But because of what Habakkuk sees, because of what he's experiencing, and because that doesn't line up with what he believes, he begins to wrestle with God. Chapter 1, why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous? Why do you tolerate the treacherous? He wrestles with God. He wrestles with what he's seen and experiencing, and it is raw and it is real. God, how long do I have to cry out help before you will listen? Habakkuk isn't closeted away from the pain and disappointment. He isn't somehow immune to the brokenness and the heartbreak. He's right there in the midst of it with his people. And here is a lesson. He chooses to stay there with God. He chooses to stay in the midst of the heartbreak and the pain with God. He doesn't ditch God. He doesn't shrug and give up on God. He doesn't rationalize that this obviously disproves what he's come to know, what he's heard about God. Instead, he wrestles with this. God, why? Where are you? I don't understand. How long before you do something? Habakkuk 1. But you can't be serious. You can't condone evil. So why don't you do something about this? Why are you silent now? This outrage, evil men swallow up the righteous, and you stand around and watch. Habakkuk, his name tells his story. Embrace and wrestle. And I think his name tells my story. And for some of you in this room today, his name tells your story. God, how long do I have to call out for help? How long do I have to call out for help? Why don't you heal me? I've called on you for help and healing. I've gone to the elders for prayer and anointing, but it seems to be getting worse. What's the deal, God? Why don't you help? Why don't you restore, repair my relationship with my son, with my daughter? Why is my child, my grandchild, struggling so much with mental health? I pray, I've asked, I've begged. Can't you hear? Why can't we start a family? And others all around seem to do it so easily. Why can't I find a partner? God, how long do I have to cry out for help before you listen? Where are you, God? Craig Rochelle preached a sermon series based on his excellent book, Hope in the Dark, Believing God is Good When Life Isn't. And he asks the question, how many of you have ever felt if you were God, you would do things very differently? Because you're not even sure that God is still paying attention. How many of you here today have ever begun or begun to entertain that thought? If I was God, I'd do things really differently. I'd fix this, I'd heal that, I'd help these people. Rochelle asked the question, is it okay to go to God with honest, raw questions? To push back sometimes and say, hey, we've been here lots. Why does it seem as though nothing is happening? He goes on to say that a third of the Psalms are cries to God about pain or songs in the midst of trials. There are entire books of the Bible that deal with what appears to be the unjust suffering for those seeking to live right with God. Habakkuk. His name tells his story. Embrace. This is who I believe you are, God. And wrestle. I don't get it, God. How come? I thought by now things would be different. His name is my story right now. God, I believe that Jesus is the full revelation of who you are. I believe that Jesus is the full revelation of your character, that you are kind and compassionate. I believe that Jesus saw the individual and he responded to the individual. I believe that you see me and you can do all sorts of things. I see that in Jesus and I'm going to embrace that about you. I believe that you care and I believe that you care about me. I read that Jesus healed people of all sorts of afflictions and diseases. I read that he was moved and reached out and healed. I come to you now embracing that you can heal me, that you are healing me. I read that Jesus was on about justice and mercy, and I hold on to that mercy. I embrace that, and I muster as much faith as I can. But I wrestle. This is difficult. It's painful. It's constant. And I'm tired. Why is this not better? Why am I not healed? Why are things harder? And why am I hindered? But I still go to God and I include him in my confusion and frustration. Even though this cancer, you are God. You are God. And this Jesus says that you are a good, good father. And so I'm going to do my best to believe that about you. And I will embrace that in this season. And I will still wrestle with things I don't understand that I come across. But I believe, I wrestle, I embrace that as my Father in heaven, you can be trusted and you care. And I want to tell you that there are times when that is enough. Habakkuk, for some here in this room and online, his name is your story. And I believe that what's going on for you is seen and it's felt by this good Father who is with you in it. And even when that doesn't seem a whole lot, I want to encourage you this morning to embrace and to wrestle. So I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray for all of us. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, we need your help. We need your help to understand. There are so many things that go on in our lives and around us that sometimes can be really confusing. There is pain and disappointment and brokenness because of this world we live in. Father, help us to go to Jesus. Help us to see in him who you are. To do our very best to trust that, to trust you. And I'm going to pray for those in this room and who are joining us online, who right now the struggle is real and there are things that are really difficult and disappointing and painful. Father, please bring comfort. I believe that you are the God of all comfort. Please comfort them, strengthen them. Help them to see you and to know that you love and care for them. Lord, help us to be aware of those around us. Help us to respond to your prompting, to reach out and care. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have ears that hear and eyes that see. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, part two of the message. One verse. Habakkuk 2, verse 1, and it says this: I will climb up to my watchtower. This is the New Living Translation. I will climb up to my watchtower. I will stand guard at my post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Habakkuk 2, verse 1, in the New International Version. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. There are a few things that I want to draw out of this one verse. Firstly, I would like you to note that Habakkuk faces all sorts of challenges, disappointments, and suffering. He has questions. He has brought his complaints to God. Yet he does not walk away from God. He doesn't quit on God, and he does not withdraw from being with God's people. Habakkuk takes himself to the place he feels will give him the best chance to try to see God at work, the best chance to see what God will say to him. He is strategic. He is intentional about this. He wants to see, and he is prepared to listen for God. And I want to say to you that that's not easy, because when you're hurting, it is hard to want to listen, particularly to one we believe could have prevented or healed that hurt, or one we believe should be doing more. But Habakkuk goes where he can humbly look for the work of God, where he can humbly listen. I'm going to encourage you this week to really pick up the book of Habakkuk, to read the three chapters, the whole book, to go looking for what God is saying, to look slowly, to pray hard and to listen humbly. Be determined to go where you can see what he's going to say. I believe that God can and does speak. I haven't heard God audibly, but I've heard him through reading the Bible. Going there expecting to engage with God, bringing my questions and my concerns, bringing my frustration and my confusion to my readings. I have heard God speak to me through services, through times of worship, through the messages that people have shared, through times of communion and prayer with other believers. I have seen God at work and I have heard him as I've served, as I've been at my post. Habakkuk takes himself to the watchtower. It is a deliberate and it is an intentional choice. The image of the watchtower is taken from Habakkuk's time. In ancient times, these cities would build a watchtower, a high point on the city wall, to give a sentry a clear vision of what was coming. And they would climb up to the watchtower and have a completely different perspective. They could see into the distance. They could see what they could not be seen from the ground. And Habakkuk says that he goes to the watchtower and he stands at his guard post. Here Habakkuk gives the image of not just waiting to see what God would say. He's not just passive in this. He's not just sitting around, but he's actually at his post. It's the image of a sentry on duty, standing where they should be, standing ready, observing and trying hard to listen. Please don't miss this. Habakkuk is wrestling. There are things going on that he doesn't get. And he may be struggling with what he thinks these things might say about God, but he is still prepared to go and stand at his post. What he's going through, what he's seeing, even what he's feeling, do not give him justification to walk away from God or to walk away from where God is calling him to be. He doesn't quit on God or withdraw from being with God's people. He stands and he remains obedient to God. This deal about standing at my guard post is taken from the military deal. A sentry on duty understands the importance of that responsibility. It doesn't matter that you might be tired. Doesn't matter that you might be bored. A sentry can't say, well, I've done this day after day after day after day. A sentry can't say, well, I'm not really getting anything out of this anymore. It doesn't work like that. In that day, if a sentry left their post, they put at risk all those behind them, all those who were in the city. A city, a community could lose out. A city, a community could be lost if a sentry failed to stay at their post. So despite his genuine complaints against God, his real intellectual and emotional struggles with God, Habakkuk understands that for him to abandon God and where God wanted him to be could create even greater problems for those who were depending on him to remain faithful and obedient, no matter how he felt at that time. These people behind Habakkuk needed him to wrestle while staying at his post. And I would say to you, as I say to myself, go ahead and wrestle. Ask your questions. Bring your complaints if you've got them. Bring them to him, but remain at your post. Remain obedient. Remain connected and involved in serving with God's people, because there are people behind you that are depending on you. Over the years, I've sat and listened to people's struggles. I've heard people's pain and disappointment. And I honestly do not discount that pain. That is real. But sadly, over the years, I've sometimes seen people to choose to walk away from God and walk away from their church because of those struggles. They no longer choose to be part of what God has given that can help us wrestle and embrace. They are no longer standing at their post. I've had conversations over the years with people who've said that they've given up on church because they weren't getting anything out of it anymore, as though that was exclusively what it was given for. I want to carefully and gently offer some advice. There will be all sorts of legitimate reasons sometimes to maybe move churches. There are times when it's obvious that that particular church isn't the right fit anymore for an individual or their family. But please, don't go and ditch church. God has given us church for many reasons. Please find a church community that works for you and your family and go to work. Find a church community that works for you and your family and then go to work. I cannot stress this enough. From years of watching people drift away from church, no longer standing at their post, no longer in their place, and there are consequences for those behind. Find a church that works for you and your family and go to work. I've said before that how we do church here at Humeridge isn't the best way, it isn't the right way, it isn't the only way, it's just one way. We do not think that Humeridge is it and a bit. We understand that it doesn't work for everyone, and that's why it's so good that there's so many great churches and wonderful churches in Toowoomba that teach God's word, that help people come to know Jesus. But they do things a little bit differently, and it might just be a better fit. Humeridge is far from perfect. We let people like me serve, and we let people like you in. But if you think that this community of faith might work for you and your family, even if you're wrestling right now, if you have questions and struggles, even if you have doubts, come and stand at your post still. Be obedient. It's not passive. In biblical terms, waiting was never about sitting around, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for something to drop in your lap. The word waiter or waitress is always about someone who would serve, who would look out for others, who would be prepared to get in and get involved. Be obedient and serve, because there are always, always someone behind that are depending on you being at your post. I have learned over the years how important it's been for me in organisations that I've been involved with outside of the church to step up, to step in. And if I thought that organisation was working for me and my family, then I needed to go to work. I needed to go to work. And if we had more time, I would try to explain how important that has been for me, but also for my family. I want to tell you that it has made such a difference. And it has been so, so important for me to hold that and to be steady in that, no matter how I felt, no matter whether I was getting anything out of it or not. It has been so important for those behind me. So can I just encourage you, if you think this community of faith might work for you and your family, be intentional about going to work. That might mean helping out with music or tech teams. It might mean putting your hand up once a month to be part of a cleaning team. It might mean being part of the gardening team, or a youth leader or a Stumpies leader. It might mean that you just commit that each Sunday, instead of just coming with the expectation, what's it going to do for me? I'm going to look for someone that looks new, whatever that means. And I will go out of my way to make sure that they feel included and seen and known. It might mean deciding that at 5 p.m. prayer, once a month, I'm going to be there to really pray and encourage those that are there. I'm going to be there. And I want to add this because it's also important for some people here and online. I understand that your standing at the post is about the way that you give so generously in this place. There are some people, because of their talents and skills and their occupation, can't always be involved in all sorts of things in the life of the church. But their standing at the post is the way that they give so generously, and what that enables this church to be able to continue to do in this community. And we are grateful. Habakkuk had his complaints. He was struggling. He saw things that didn't make sense. And God's answer when he brought his first complaint gave him further concerns. Brendan shared about that last week. God basically said, well, I'm going to now bring the Babylonians. You think things are bad now? Whoa, just wait. Habakkuk had all sorts of reasons to have some complaints. But he continued to embrace what he believed about God. In the face of all of that, he continued to hold on tight and he wrestled with God. And in this image in Habakkuk 2, he stays at his post. He is prepared to be there for the sake of others. He will not leave his post. I want to encourage you this week to read Habakkuk. We are going to take another week next week in Habakkuk 2. Next week I will speak about this whole thing about waiting on the Lord. Can I tell you that over the years I've heard lots of people talk about waiting on the Lord. And I'm going to be really honest, I had no idea what it meant, but it sounded good. So we're going to talk about what it means to wait on the Lord. What's that look like? What does that really mean? But right now, for today, I'm going to just simply say this, that at the end of the service, the elders, some of the elders will gather at the front. They will be here to pray for you. So if you have something that you would like prayer for, I always feel bad because sometimes I share at a meeting and I often say, if anyone wants something to be prayed for, you just let us know. Everyone goes quiet. So I just jump in with my list. And I let them know what I need prayer for. I believe that the ministry of prayer is so, so vital. I believe that one of the ways in which we can wrestle with God is in prayer. And having people pray for us is just such a gift. Last week it was the privilege of the elders and myself to pray for a gentleman here in the church, and we anointed him with oil. We actually followed what James 5 speaks about. He came because he wants healing. And he followed the instructions of James 5 and he asked the elders to prepare and to be ready and then to anoint him with oil and to pray over him. And we had that wonderful privilege. And that opportunity is available for anyone who would come and ask. The elders take that responsibility very seriously. It is a biblical command. It is a biblical example. And we want to be involved in doing that. If there are things today that are heavy on your heart, please come and make sure that you see me or one of the ministry team. I understand that there are things that are happening, lots of things that I don't know about. But if we can support, if we can do our very best to pray along with you, we will do that for you. So right now, as we wrap up, as the band make their way out, I'm going to just pray for us, please. Father, we just thank you for the book of Habakkuk. I thank you that it's raw and it's real. I thank you that we have an example here of this man of God not holding back, but being honest and real and coming before you with things that really mattered to him, things that confused him, things that upset him, things that he struggled with. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us what it means to embrace and to wrestle, to keep on going back to what we believe about you because of what you've revealed to us through Jesus. I really pray that you help us to do that. And Father, as we encounter things, as we experience things, as we see things that kind of sometimes throw us a bit, help us to keep coming back and wrestling with those things with you. Help us not to ever think that the way to deal with this is to walk away. And I pray particularly today that you would just help us to stay at our post, whatever that actually looks like for us. It might be that we continue to pray for our children. We stand and we pray for our kids. It might mean that we actually continue to serve in our life group or serve in an area here at the church or outside of the church. We stay at our post. And Father, I pray that for all of us, we will go to your word regularly, that we will understand the importance of going there so that we might see what you have to say and that we will listen humbly for that. Lord, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for the different ways in which you've spoken to us through baptisms, through communion, through worship. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to work in our hearts and our minds. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen.